This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get to the trash of the day here in about 17 minutes or so. Chiefs Red Half Hour is a half hour away. I want to talk a bit about something Dusty had to say yesterday on his show about a Chiefs player's performance, and if you guys agree with what that performance could ultimately look like in 2025. But we did get some stadium news. I'll use air quotes because, you know, we're still kind of in the same spot here, but
stuck in limbo.
Very,
I'm afraid.
Very interesting. I think the timing is everything here. We're all smart enough to figure out, I think, a little bit on the timing, what's going on. If you missed it, the Royals put out a statement yesterday. I'm not going to read you the full statement. I'm going to sum it up for you. The Royals said an affiliate of the club acquired the mortgage on that Asperia campus in Overland Park, right? 119th, 115th in Knoll. That's the site that, of course, has been talked about before. It also mentioned that they have negotiated with or made investments in multiple potential sites, both in Missouri and in Kansas. But again, the one investment that was singled out was this site on 119th
in Knoll. They were vague about the other potential investments.
Right. Remember, we all know next week what's happening in Missouri, the special session to discuss a stadium funding bill. We also know at the end of June, the star bonds expire. This, to me, just screams of Leverage City, and that's what this is. It is trying to show those on the Missouri side of the state line, specifically I'm talking about representatives that will have an opportunity to vote on this thing, maybe, during the special session, that, hey, we're serious. We've had someone that, essentially, somebody that's part of our ownership group has gone out and, with another business, has purchased this mortgage on this complex out in Overland Park. And that's how serious we are. And we still are hoping we can get something done, but like that's how I take it. I don't know how you took it. It is to me a leverage move to once again show we're serious, that if something doesn't happen here with financing mechanisms in Missouri, we're very serious. That to me is what this is, and the timing is not a coincidence. Come on, it happens 4 days before, 5 days before the special session starts.
No, I'm not like, it's one of those like, you start sounding like a little man. I wasn't born yesterday.
Yeah.
That's how it feels a little bit when it comes to that. I do not think that they are like, no doubt, without question, doing the 119th and Knoll location. I obviously think it's a serious consideration and the favorite if they are to end up in Kansas. But I think that this is fairly obviously a point of position to say, we have these choices and we have made these investments. And why release the statement timing-wise unless you're trying to turn the screws up a little bit on Missouri? One thing I think I have learned in this process, because I think the silence from the Chiefs speaks volumes in this, I still do not understand why we essentially just give them a pass on sitting on the sidelines. Do you know how many articles I've read, Gold, that say, John Sherman's cheap. He won't buy the own team. I'm like, are we just ignoring that Clark was a part of this too? That he is also wanting a new stadium? And that there are two parties asking for new buildings? Genuinely, what this is the way the Royals have handled this, the time that it's taken, the way the Chiefs have handled this, and the time that it's taken. I am personally convinced, not that they're telling me this, I am personally convinced that both's preference would be Missouri. And that downtown Royals baseball is still the preference of John Sherman if he was given any choice and everything was created equal, etc. And that Clark Hunt's choice would still be to renovate, maybe not the plan they had before, but a renovated Arrowhead at the site that they are currently at. And that if everybody got their dream scenario, their Christmas wish, the bike under the tree gold, it would be both of those things. Or I think they'd have just taken Kansas's money by now, if you want to know the truth. And I don't think they would have played this out, slow played it all, released statements around the time Missouri's going to go back. I think that that's the preference. And they're just still trying to make it very clear, hey, we will go to Kansas. I guess at this point, though, it's like, I just, Missouri hasn't budged much. And so, like, at some point, like, if you're the Royals or the Chiefs, why are you optimistic?
Yeah, just multiple things have happened this week. You had the mayor on a, I don't know if it was his Facebook Live or something. He was on, he does like a weekly or every couple weeks does a thing. And essentially he was saying that, like, they're not going to be beggars for the team. They want to fight for the teams, but they're not going to be beggars. And then we see this statement come out yesterday confirming that they've at least had an affiliate of the club purchase the debt on and mortgage on this campus.
But also the campus is reportedly not in great shape. So who knows?
And then we all know the special session is happening next week. To me, it's leverage more than anything else.
Yeah, I think it's making it clear that, again, we understand what our options are and we will explore their options. Can I say briefly that if the 119th and Null site is seriously in consideration again, which probably always was in some sort of consideration, but appears to be, I think, probably the front runner. I don't think they're like dead set on going there or anything like that, but probably the front runner for the Kansas side, not in general. I still hate that site.
Yeah, you and I have not been.
I think the stadium, I think all the things can be cool. And the renders, I'm like, and I'm not even saying I wouldn't go or anything like that. It's not that. I just don't want it there. And maybe that's because I want it downtown or near downtown or any of those other things. I just don't want it there. That's all. And we don't have to get bogged down in that again. You and I have both said we don't really love the egress or anything else that's going out of there. That's all.
Yeah, that's the thing. The site itself, I still don't think makes a ton of sense, but we'll see ultimately what happens. But that was the little bit of an update that occurred yesterday with the Royals putting out a statement. And I think it was prompted also. There was a few articles out there from, I think Fox 4 initially had the reporting with some comments from those around that area as well, including the Jay and just kind of their ongoing conversations non-conversations, I guess, that have not taken place.
Yeah, I just, it's I don't know. It doesn't feel like this really moved other than, again, I feel like everything that continues to happen is telling us that this thing is getting ready to come to a head, Gold. Like, we are nearing the finish line of at least announcements of a plan. Does it mean that those plans will go through with 100%? No. I think we probably learned that lesson from the last time when they finally announced a bill to try to get voted on that eventually was lost by 16 points or whatever to keep both teams in Jackson County at that time. But as time's gone on, I thought after that thing failed, I thought one team would just move their best plan, their favorite plan, to the Kansas side of things. And I don't think that's the case. I still think, even though he won't say it publicly, and I think the Chiefs have been skirting a lot of the criticism because they have been silent, essentially, this entire process, I still think Clark Hunt doesn't want to tear down his family's legacy, and he very, 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 very much wants to stay at a renovated Arrowhead. He wants it to be Noble or Grace's problem, or somebody else's, you know, like somebody else's decision, not his, to change what Arrowhead is. I think it means that much to him, and that's okay, but like, I think that's what inevitably it still comes down to, is that they want to be in Missouri, but they probably both can't be. You and I still don't think both teams are going to end up in Missouri. I don't. I think one maybe?
Split it, probably.
I don't know. It makes the most sense. Like, that to me, I don't know. It makes the most sense. But at the same time, who knows, right? The needle, the markers keep changing. I'm fascinated to see what Missouri gets done, I guess, next week. But I told you, unfortunately, Gold, at this point, you and I, because of sports wagering or you because of your, you know, you love pot and everything else, you know, we can't help. I'm just joking, obviously. But like, whatever we've been following in the Missouri legislature, it's been clear they're a bit disorganized. We agree?
Obviously.
And then unlikely they're going to get it done. Drew, maybe it'll be out your way, you know? Your rent might go up at the Legends, though. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, you know, they can...
That's 5 years from now.
Yeah. How quickly is that going to spike? Until they build it or after it's approved. Oh, yeah,
Have you ever met an apartment complex? I mean, immediately. Drew, at your lease renewal.
I know.
Cole, am I wrong here? I haven't rented in a long time, but it feels like the number goes up anyway,
which
right?
Which is why my renewal is coming up, and I need to renew now before it gets announced where it's going to be. Probably.
Well, you're not going to sign a 5-year lease, you know what I mean?
Well, I know that.
I don't think it's going up next.
Well, that's
what
I was asking. If it's announced that Legends is getting a stadium, is the rent just immediately? Hey, by the way,
the next time your lease is up, it might start. I don't know.
I just got to make sure that I get the renewal done then before they announce they're going out to Legends. You know?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
There is a lot of space out there. A lot of space.
Someone says they would do it instantly. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you have to let them finish out his current lease though.
Which is why it's coming up here in like a month. So I need to renew it now. Before.
Oh, dude, are you going to have to move again or you like this place enough?
I do. I like this place enough and we're not dealing with mold problems. So I thankfully, one, because I really don't want to move again.
Gold, what's your plan? You going to move? You going to finally find new digs?
Yeah, you've been to your place for a while.
That has nothing to do with
now.
The stadium stuff, though.
No, he was talking about moving. I just didn't know what your plan was.
I still am on a lease right now. I don't know. I've looked at a couple places. I told you there's a couple places that are new nearby our station as well that I've looked at, but... I mean, I'd stay on the Kansas side. I'm not going to move on to the Missouri side, if that's what you're asking.
You sound like those people.
No, I know you're saying that. I wasn't saying that.
Going over there. Yeah.
No, Gold will probably never. This is what's funny about it. It's like, I don't think that there's clearly people have a strong preference for, like, I would have lived on either side of the state line. When I became an adult, I looked at houses on both sides of the state line. But I do think that most of the time, there's a strong preference for, I like living in Kansas, partially for Alex, because it's near his friends or his family group or the things that, like, he does.
Also, it's near work.
And it's near work, whatever, right? The variety of reasons people choose to live on the side of the state line that they do. It's the choice of where you go to a game state line thing that I don't understand.
Sure.
Choosing which side of the state line you want to live on, that makes sense. I think most people have a preference.
Yeah.
Have chosen a preference based on, again,
convenience,
work,
places,
family, friends, whatever the reasons may be, where you grew up. Any of the reasons, right? But like the viewing of a game, you don't live there. What's the matter?
I'm living here only because the team is here. You know, that'd be a lot of dedication.
Yeah. I don't know, man. That part of it just throws me off a little bit. That's all. Anyway, that's the update on the stadiums. I guess we'll see what happens next.
There was an update, though, at some meetings that are going. We mentioned college football earlier. How about what's happening with college basketball? You know I'm not a huge fan of expanding the NCAA tournament, but Bill Self was quoted yesterday at the Big 12 meetings that Big 12 coaches are in favor of expanding the NCAA tournament. There was also some quotes from the NCAA themselves in the last day or so suggesting that it could happen as soon as this year's NCAA tournament. And that is at least four team expansion from the tournament. I know they have expanded multiple times over its history. I also recognize that there's probably no stopping this. That is going to expand. I've been pretty consistent on this. I don't like it whatsoever. I think much like for college football, the expansion is not going to allow more mid-majors in. It's going to allow the 10th and 11th best team in these conferences to get in now.
Which the Big 12 loves because they're a deep basketball conference.
That's why coaches are for it. I can say on my resume that I'm an NCAA tournament. You're not firing me after an NCAA tournament berth.
I think it's also why like Kalen DeBoer for Alabama was like, let's do... I want four things for because you want to keep your job at Alabama. Also, just getting into college football playoff will not keep your job at Alabama. Not at Alabama. It'll keep your job somewhere, but there. But yeah, that's why they want the extra college teams.
I'm curious, Gold, would you be more in favor of it if what it turned into was you get, for the first four, you get rid of the 16 seeds. They are actually in the tournament. They don't do play-ins. They're in. Everybody's in. And instead, you have a first four, but it's not four teams. It's four games. You add two more games. Two 11 seeds and then two 10s. You would end up with, in all likelihood, more power schools playing in these play-in, but they're play-in games. They're not, they're there to get into the field of 68, essentially. The field is still 68 with your bracket, but the first four is, instead of it just being two games each day, it's or two games each day, one of or two matchups being 16 seeds. It's 2-10 matchups and then two matchups for 2-11 seeds.
Well, at some point though, like
it's still you add the four teams,
yeah,
but you allow it to still be a play-in essentially for the actual 68 team bracket.
My issue isn't how it's going to be presented with play-in tournament, first four, whatever we want to call it. It's just the idea that they're going to act like they're expanding the field, but who are they expanding the field for?
It'd be another Mountain West school.
Maybe.
And then you include North Carolina or NC State, right, or Virginia, yeah, whatever the case is in that bunch.
And guess what? We'll still have a selection Sunday, and there will still be four other coaches and ADs at that point that will complain that they weren't one of the additional four that we already expanded it to. We're just going to now be arguing about even less of a resume and less of a team getting in or not getting in. Like,
it's never going to
end. There's always the one team, four teams are always going to be left out and think that they got screwed over, even though we just expanded of the field. So I'm very anti this. I've been that way for a couple years. I recognize it's going to happen because coaches want it and there's more money involved for these conferences because they get more teams in the field and all that.
I was about to say, accept your fate on that one. Some of these things are things I think we discuss because I do think that there's problems with it or issues with it and that they should consider those things outside of it. But at the same time, let's just be real. It's not, this goes back to like the stadium stuff. I still don't think the public should fund stadiums for people worth billions of dollars. I also accept the fact that that is going to happen. And so what I want to get into is the part of where is the stadium going to go? So like, I will say the one thing they're not thinking about is like, this saves my job is at some point, if you had so many teams, that part of it becomes so watered down that it doesn't mean the same thing anymore. Nobody cares. I've made the tournament 4 years in a row. We're like, we don't care, man. Everybody makes a tournament. Cool story. It will become about, did you get to the round of 32? How often did you get to the Sweet 16? They'll start judging. I think they'll move the line of judgment of what you've accomplished. Or even worse than that, they're not thinking about the part of how bad it looks now if you miss. What you're not thinking about is making the tournament saves me. If you miss now, embarrassing. You've missed 2 years in a row at K-State? How? They put 95 teams in the tournament. How do you keep missing? That's going to get your ass fired way faster.
Yeah, I just think
it can flip on you, I guess, is the point.
That's fair. I think it also ends some of the conversation about the bubble teams. You know, there's always some intrigue the final week or two. Like, oh, this team is on the bubble. First four in, last four in or whatever it is. Or last four out, I'm sorry. Whatever it is. Like, that conversation to me kind of ends because, like, okay, in this year there would have been a conversation. You know, everybody was upset North Carolina got in. With the expanded field, they easily would have got in. Or they, you know, wouldn't even have been a debate.
They wouldn't even have been a bubble team, right?
And they ended up winning. To me, I think
I know they won a tournament game.
I think it's fine. I don't have a problem with it, but I don't think you should just be included in the field. You should have to do one of the first four games and play your way into the tournament, if you will. Especially if we're talking about the North Carolinas of the world and all of that stuff, you should have to play your way in and not just be guaranteed a spot. Where again.
No one's playing their way in if you got this many teams.
In fairness, if you just took the last four teams from last year and you put them in, then Boise State is included in that group. Indiana State would have been before. It might be one of the four spots, but at least there's, in all likelihood, a Mountain West school, another small school that happens to have a great season that just got left out for whatever small reason. You at least would be including a small school in there, I would hope, at least. Nobody wanted to see 15 and 17 Nebraska in the NCAA tournament.
Everyone
after they blew
wants
up
to see UMKC,
the season.
You know? When it comes down to it,
they still won't get in.
I swear, so help me. If UMKC, for whatever reason, doesn't win the Summer League tournament in their single biggest year ever, and it's between them and some, we finished 6-10 in SEC play Florida team. Not Florida, they're too good. But
Missouri.
LSU. And they get left out? Oh, man, I'm going to be sick. Sick to my stomach.
You're saying if UMKC goes 33-3 like Indiana State
did a year ago
or whatever. But
then it's happened to lose in the Summit League Championship. Don't leave them out.
That would be some
Don't leave them out.
Stuff.
Keeping the small schools that just happen to not win their conference tournament this one time, you know? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar should have been in that. You know, like in the new field, that team needs to be in, you know? Do it for me.
Gold has no problems with this because KU is always going to be in, regardless.
Yeah, KU's already on a historic run of not missing the tournament. Yeah. They put this many teams in. How the hell are they ever going to miss the tournament?
They won't. It's just never going to happen.
I mean, they don't really miss anyway. It's so always kind of
the field not being big enough has never really been a problem for them.
If they expanded to seven, if let's say they go to 96 eventually in 20 years, when like everybody's talking about, there's no way that KU ever misses.
Yeah, probably not.
All right, let's get to it.
Trash of the day.
All right, trash of the day today takes us to someone that clearly already wasn't trusting their spouse. A UK woman started suspecting her husband of cheating, but how she suspected is very interesting. I don't know. Do you guys have electric toothbrushes, or do you just use their regular one? I've had one before. Right, the second I do not have one, like I just, it's one of those deals. Like I've had the electric toothbrush. I did not know that it has the ability to like track through an app. I guess there's some that you can do that.
Mine does not have an app. Why do I need an app for my toothbrush?
I agree. Well, a UK woman suspected her husband of cheating after she checked the data on her electric toothbrush companion app and noticed that they were brushing at odd times of the day. She hired a private investigator with over a decade of experience, and basically one of the clients of this private investigator, a married mother of two, was trying to improve her children's brushing habits by monitoring their electronic toothbrush use via a smartphone, noticed that the brush was being used at strange times of the days when her kids were supposed to be at school and her husband at work. After making sure her kids were indeed at school, she confronted her husband, who claimed to have been away at work all day. Like, oh, this toothbrush is brushing itself. Nope. Over time, the client noticed that her partner's brushing history had been logged at odd times, times when they were supposedly at work. At first, didn't seem like much. Brushing late in the morning on Fridays didn't raise immediate red flags. But over time, she saw a pattern. The electric toothbrush was being used on Friday mornings, a time when her husband was supposed to be at work. In reality, her spouse hadn't been to work.
Just Friday mornings.
Had not been to work on Friday mornings in months. Instead, he had been having an affair with a colleague right in the family home.
Unreal.
That's a crazy way to get caught, though.
Uh-huh.
That's a crazy way to get caught.
Toothbrush was timestamped 10:48. They were supposed to be at work at 9 a.m. It was very hard to explain away. So that toothbrush got this guy caught. Cheating in his own home.
I mean, I'm assuming terrible. People do that a lot. I don't know, but like that seems like, you know, you're going to get a hotel every time. It's probably expensive. But the idea that, like, think about how nervous. And look, this woman's intuition was very correct on this. But think about how suspicious you got to be to start digging into toothbrush data. Were you getting an alert on your phone? How did you not turn that off? Who's checking toothbrush cycle data? Like, and by the way, after the first time she noticed and you're like, no, I was normal, you got to be on to the game.
Okay, like, so you're trying to make the excuse for the guy in terms how did the
he's
guy
an
not
idiot.
Get caught in this?
Okay. Like, okay. First, having an affair at the exact same time every week, that's wild behavior. Like, just like, well, I'll see you Friday at 10. It's not a meeting.
It's like a It was for them.
That was the time.
But, like, he must have been doing a lot of shady stuff was my point. He must have just been coming off as, like, he was cheating this entire time if you're digging into toothbrush data.
That's
what I thought, too. You're already suspecting, but that doesn't seem like that's what happened here. It sounds like she was keeping an eye on toothbrush data for her kids, and then she thought it was odd that when she went on the app, somebody was brushing their teeth during the day. So she said at first she called the school to make sure her kids were in school. And that's when she found out. So I don't think she actually thought.
She didn't resort to this as a way of finding out.
No, okay. I don't think she actually thought her husband was cheating before. It was a tracking thing for her children. And then she was able to find out, hey, somebody's using a toothbrush at 10 a.m. on Fridays. Nobody's supposed to be home. And that's how she found out.
That's wild.
Man. That's, you know what? Cheating is going to get caught. If you cheat, you're going to get caught. That's just a reality of it.
I agree.
Just don't cheat on your spouse.
Eventually, it's going
to
get you.
Easy solution here. I've managed to do it my whole life, not cheat on someone. So I imagine you are also capable of doing it.
Everybody's capable.
That's embarrassing. I just don't want an app for...
They were doing the track for their kids.
My kids, you know,
they're trying to make sure they knew how long their kids were brushing. I mean, I guess it makes sense.
I just taught my kids, like, there is buzz for 2 minutes. You don't stop brushing until the buzzer goes off.
Yeah.
Or when they were little, we did little timers where they could, like, watch a video of something slowly unveil, you know, of, like, a character they liked. There's lots of ways to do this that aren't an app. That's, I don't know. Guess I hadn't thought about, like, an app.
It's an app for everything, evidently.
Someone says, does it work for toothbrush? It must have just been they were all logged into the same app, and then she could see the toothbrush data of every toothbrush.
By the way, how expensive are these toothbrushes that there's you got three electric ones, and they're all tracking how often you turn the toothbrush on, and it's hours.
So
that's a good question.
I guess a follow-up would be, it was the tracking only in the kids' toothbrushes? So basically, he's giving this woman one of his kids' toothbrushes.
I don't know if they were sharing. That was unclear. That would be disgusting.
I took it as it was him brushing his teeth after.
That's how I took it. Because I'll be honest, if you egregious, if you let somebody else use your kid's toothbrush, not only are you a bad husband, now bad dad. Immediate bad dad behavior.
No, I think he was just brushing his teeth after having the affair. And that's how it registered the time.
Or before, like right before she came over?
Both, maybe.
Why not both?
That's the trash of the day. All right, we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Something Dusty had to say on the show yesterday about a Chiefs player. Do we agree with his projection on that player? Plus, one thing alone could maybe eliminate the Broncos from the AFC West. We'll explain.
Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus TNCs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
So, Fesco and Dusty, of course, always on right before us. And yesterday, Dusty was talking about some projections, over-unders for the Chiefs. And we'll see when the official numbers come out for FanDuel and DraftKings. There's some books out there you can already find some of the numbers. But the number Dusty threw out there was 800 yards. He said he would say under 800 yards for Travis Kelce this year. We all know that this is probably the last year for Travis Kelce. We all know last year how the season went. We also know there's a lot of speculation reports that he looks like he's lost some weight this offseason, that he's kind of going all in for one last hurrah. Even what was viewed as a down year last year, he had 97 catches for 823.
In a down year.
I would not take the under. Now, I'm not taking over, 1,100 yards like maybe you would, but 823 last year when they didn't have a primary weapon outside of him really until later in the year when Worthy continued to develop. This year, the offense, assuming Rashee Rice is good to go, is going to run through Rice. Kelce can be the number two guy, which will actually make his job easier. I do buy into the fact that based on the photos we have seen, he looks like he's in great shape.
And not he looks slender.
The cliche best shape of my life thing. I actually do think
he's in the best shape of his life. He's in his late 30s.
I think he's in better shape than he was at this time last year.
I agree.
I think that's fair. And so under 800, I can't get there. I think
I'm not sure I'd take under 9.
I think it's in, I was going to say 850 to 950 range is kind of what I'm thinking. I don't know what the actual number will be set at the main books. Offshore, I can look probably real quick and find out, but I'm not going under 800. If it's under 800, I think that means he's missing a game or two.
So last year, as you remember, you still would have hit his over on his yardage total.
Yep.
So crazy enough, even after a down year. So guess what his yardage total is going to be this year? It'll probably be by the time, and I'm going to hammer it because I'm a degenerate for betting Travis Kelce overs when it comes to the season. It's going to be 710. And you're going to be like, but how? Because last year when I bet it, it was still in the 700s last year.
Yeah, 750 and a half or 775.
Yeah, when people still thought highly or even more highly of Travis. I'll guess it's in the 720 range. 720, 725 range. And I will happily bet the over because that feels like a number. I think he is still, no matter how they structure the offense, always until the day he retires, going to be maybe even the top target guy in the list. I think his yards per catch are down. I think all that stuff is down. But there is no version of the Chiefs offense. I don't care how much they throw to Rashee Rice or Xavier Worthy. I do not think there is a version of the Chiefs offense this year that if Travis Kelce is healthy, that he is not thrown to 100 times. And maybe I'm way off on that, and they got big plans to start making this shift because his targets, in fairness, were way down in the first few weeks when Rashee Rice had become kind of a target monster at the beginning. And maybe I'm way off here, and the target share is getting ready to fade a little bit on Travis Kelce. I have a hard time imagining an offense in which he's not targeted a ton.
So he's still going to be targeted a lot, but by his standard, I think it will be down. I mean, it was 133 targets last year. He had 121 in 15 games the year before, and then he had a career high in targets, 152 back in 2022 when he had, the second most receiving yards of his career, 1338 and 12 touchdowns. He had an unbelievable year in 2022. I think his targets go from 133. I could see his targets coding dipping down to 115, 117, which would be the lowest since he was 27 years old in 2016. And that year, he still finished with 85 catches and 1,100 yards. So
he targeted less.
Yeah. So, I
think he might be more productive with less targets, too. Yeah.
So, I'm with you there. I think the targets are dipping, though. I just think they have to. If the offense is going to run the way that they claim they intended when everybody was going to be healthy.
That's why I said less than 100 targets.
And they have said, with their actions this offseason and how they've approached the wide receiver room, that they believe that they had the right mix. It just nobody was available by the time they got to the start of the season in Hollywood Brown's case, or obviously the Rashee Rice ACL, or not ACL, whatever the injury was for his knee. And so they're banking on them all being together. And if they're together, then I think you can take some of the workload off of Travis Kelce. He can be fresher later on in the season. Still have a, let's call it 110, 115 target season that results in him having 850, 950 yards, and we'll call it, you know, 6-7 touchdowns, which is a very good NFL season for someone at the age of 30. I think he'll be 36 by the time the season's over. He's 35 right now, right? So
I don't know, man.
What is he? He's 35 right now. So
under 800 doesn't even seem plausible for him. I go back to Tony
Gonzalez.
If
he's healthy, no.
Because, I go back to Tony Gonzalez because there is no other comparison I can make. I don't have any other tight end who's been as successful as he's been this late into his NFL career. There's no other person. It's only Tony Gonzalez. And he pretty much just capped out right around where Travis Kelce was last year. 850. I think there's too much of their offense that just works with him inside of it for him not to get passes thrown his way at some point. And that's really what it boils down to, is that he's the freebie pass. You know, we look for the, like, hey, look for the check down. He's the check down. The running back is not the check down. He's the check down. If they need 5 yards, 6 yards here or there, and they're not sure, and Xavier Worthy's running downfield, and they're not sure it's open, Travis is always just there. And so it's hard to imagine a world in which he's below 800 yards for me. Again, assuming health. But it's, I also still, like, the more and more I see, like, the way he's getting in shape, all this stuff, even just like the silly things, like I think they also talked about on their show, which was the Kelce jam stuff getting delayed. It feels like he is all in for one last hurrah. He wants desperately to go out with a bang and to like finish strong and look like Travis Kelce and win Super Bowl and do all those things and feel like the player he's been his entire career.
That's definitely what it looks like. That's definitely the narrative that's out there around Travis Kelce. We'll find out if that's actually the case, but that's definitely the thought and what everybody is assuming. And certainly it looks like from some of the videos or photos, I should say, that have been out there. Look, the final year, it's interesting you bring up Gonzalez, though. The final year is kind of what I'm saying for Kelce. Gonzalez was 37, though, in his final year, but 83 catches, 859 and 8 touchdowns. I just told you, I think Kelce's an 850 to 950 yard guy in his final year. Now, he's still at 121 targets, different offense and different era of the league and everything. But yeah, I think the final year of Tony Gonzalez is kind of what I think the final year of Kelce could look like, statistically at least.
I think that that's more than reasonable. Honestly, more than reasonable to assume that. I don't think I would predict 1,000 yards, but that's not even with him. If there were another guys to throw to, I'd probably still say 1,000 yards would be my guess, because I know Travis Kelce's career, but because they have so many weapons this year that currently are on the field, including Hollywood, including Rice, including Worthy. And some of this depends. If you think Hollywood Brown is like a 750-yard wide receiver, you probably should be down on Travis Kelce's numbers. I don't. I don't think Hollywood Brown's ever really been that. I think he's more like a 600-yard wide receiver, and I'm fine with that. That's not like a knock on the player or that I expect or want more. That's fine, honestly. I think Worthy and Rice are likely to be somewhere near the top together, depending on, again, whether or not there's ever a suspension with Rice. I'm done. That's about the same as Stadium Top. I guess I'm just going to stop talking about the potential of Rasheed Rice getting a suspension until there's any movement on that at all.
I don't know if we'll know till training camp. Because, one, the legal process has to get cleared up, but then also in August, you have to have the league make a decision. So first, you know what I mean? Like the NFL, yes, does their own investigation, but they got to wait for things to wrap up in Dallas. I mean, I think isn't there a civil date, case date set?
This summer, June,
court date set, I should say. But we don't know on the criminal side.
This is very small, but there's two things related to the Taylor Swift part of this Travis Kelce thing.
All right.
One, Carrington made an excellent point during the Knicks game in which they showed Timothy Chalamet 45 times more than they showed Taylor.
Nobody freaked out then, did they?
And it wasn't like we didn't have to do national articles and an indictment about the showing of Timothy Chalamet.
You know the difference. You know what the difference is.
I know. It's
not fair, but you know the difference.
I am very aware. The second part of this, and I am dead serious, Travis Kelce's always been a hard worker. You know, I don't think you can be without being a Hall. I don't think you can be a Hall of Fame player without being like an incredibly diligent, motivated person, all this other stuff. I kind of think Taylor deserves a little bit of credit because all the reputation on her for like this, like the amount she put into this tour, I think Travis saw what it took for her to execute that over the course of a year and the sheer amount of absolute grind it took to do it for a year. And he's like, man, I don't think I'm working like that. Like, I think that there was like a part, I think, honest to God, I think there's a part of him who was like, damn, I could be, there's a whole nother level of work I can do. and he found it for an offseason. Like, I honestly think that some part of, like, I know. Yeah. I'm speculating. Yeah, basis.
I have no clue, man. Maybe. There might be. I have no clue. I also think more, you know, possible. It's just, you know.
He wants
to go out on top. He knows it's his final year, and he wants to go out and have a good year. And, and so he's just going to work harder. I'm not saying, like, clearly she's had an influence on him. Duh. But to what extent on the football side of things, I don't know. That's maybe a bit of a stretch for me. I don't know. But it's hopefully going to set up for a hell of a final season for Travis Kelce in the NFL.
Still so weird that there's nothing. I can't. Every time I search, I'm like, okay, maybe I missed it. Maybe there's a criminal charge for Rashee Rice from the state of Texas. As far as I can tell, there were never, like, filed charges against him in a criminal matter for speeding, even though there's video evidence that he was definitely speeding and he already admitted to doing it. So I'm just like, oh, man, I don't know. What a weird time.
Yeah, then, like, people, you know, the whole on-camera stuff, though, is funny with the celebrities. And that was their argument back even when people were upset that Taylor Swift was being shown on TV, was like, they've been showing stars courtside, Spike Lee, for decades. They used to show Jack for Lakers game courtside for decades. Sure. Jerry Jones, he's the owner, but they show him stuffing his face with popcorn during games and a Diet Coke or whatever. Nobody cares about that 100 times during a game, you know? So that was always crazy thing.
I've never noticed or cared, but then everybody raised a huge stink when they started showing her a couple times, be happy for Travis Kelce. I'm like, yeah, it turns out sports, this is why the Knicks seats exist. The Knicks have a section at their stadium called Celebrity Row. They just put famous people there so they could show them. That's the whole point. Like, it's designed that way. Oh, you got a brand new show on CBS? Want to come sit courtside for the Knicks? You just got to be nice and wave and lean in a little bit, and we'll sit you nice and close for the Knicks game. It's always that kind of stuff.
So it goes back to the Chiefs fatigue nationally.
Tracy Morgan, too, is another one.
There's always some. I was looking at the... So I keep thinking about the AFC West because everyone nationally is going to think the Chiefs are eventually going to lose the AFC West, and those thoughts have already started. So what I've started to do is dive into the AFC West and look for the holes in their problem. Like, how many wins we think it takes to win the AFC West? Bare minimum, do we all agree? To win the AFC West, bare minimum, 11.
Yeah, bare minimum,
There is no scenario in which less than 11 wins does this. All right, so Aerodetic did a nice job, and I took a look at this. All right, let's take a look at the Broncos first. Here's part of the thing that people never factor into when they start looking for these teams that can compete. The Denver Broncos has a stretch. Weeks 3, 4, and 5 of the season, including one day, it's not nothing short week, but about the same, of at the Chargers, at home versus the Bengals, a team that does not match up well for them on paper.
Is that in September or October?
September.
Okay, well, that's good news for Denver.
Yep. That is good news for Denver. Already, they're really
bad
there.
That's an L for Cincinnati.
Almost October.
That's a win for the Broncos.
And then Eagles on the road. So by the time this season starts, assuming they do not slip up against the Titans at home, which I don't assume they would, or the Colts on the road, a team that I think they do, they could easily be 2-3 to start the season, or 3-2 to start the season. And then what kind of run do they have to go to? Not to mention 2 weeks after that, again, the middle part of their schedule, they have to take on the Cowboys and the Texans in consecutive games and the Chiefs 3 out of 4 weeks in that stretch. Their middle part of the schedule is too hard. They're gonna not get through that without 4 or 5 losses. The mystery loss comes outside of it, and then they're done. I've already eliminated the Broncos from winning the AFC West, barring injury for one of the teams at the top. The middle part of their schedule is too tough. I didn't even mention Washington. They face the Chiefs, Washington, the Cowboys, and the Texans 4 out of 5 weeks, not to mention the earlier stretch.
It's a tough schedule. I'll say this, though. The Broncos, after winning, 10 games last year, I think it was? Or 11? I can't remember. 10, I think, for the Broncos. With where they're at now, second year of Bo Nix. Some of those opponents, I'm with you. Some of them, I would argue, like, they're no different than the Broncos. So why do we, you know what I mean? Like,
why are they losing? You're saying it's a coin toss.
The Chargers and Broncos playing each other as a coin flip game.
Broncos Chargers on the road, so I was giving the edge to the home team.
There'll be more Broncos fans there. The Cowboys.
Well, it's not as bad as playing in them.
Cowboys Broncos game, I view them as very similar football teams potentially this year. If not, if anything, I'd give the edge to the Broncos right this second. So
they got the better defense.
I don't think it's as automatic, I guess, as I would say, like, loss.
I'm not saying they're all losses.
I don't believe I think the Broncos are finishing third in this division. So I guess by that logic, I kind of agree with you. I just don't know if we can just say, well, 2-3 to start for sure for the Broncos and a case closed. I don't think it'll play out that way, but I also believe that the Chargers will be the biggest competition to the Chiefs in this division, not the Denver Broncos. You also think Bo Nix is going to have the biggest regression year too, so that's probably part of this.
Yeah, some of it is definitely that, and that's just based on history. I think the sophomore slump is very real in the NFL, and it doesn't even mean that I think Bo Nix can't be a 7-10-year starter or whatever, you know, in the NFL. I don't think he's going to be as efficient as he was last year. I think the touchdowns will come down. I think the interceptions will go up. I don't think the yards are going to take some huge dip or huge swing up. Mm-hmm. Unless there's something there that I'm just not seeing. And this doesn't go back to like me making fun of him being old or whatever. It's just, I think that this is just like history would tell us that you are, I think, more likely to have a sophomore slump than not in the NFL. When you have really, really, really good rookie seasons historically, and I think Denver knows that. I think why Denver is planning on winning defense, not Bo Nix. Their plan is still to just be the best defensive team in the league, which might work.
I mean, their top pick was on a corner opposite Surtain. Yeah, like they spent their top pick on a corner to play opposite Surtain, but they also spent a fairly high pick on a running back in R.J. Harvey as well. They signed Evan Ingram in the offseason as well, who had a very nice season in Jacksonville. I guess it would have been the year before. So we'll see how it plays out. I hear you on the sophomore slump stuff. We do see it every time. My only thing with Bo Nix, I'm not expecting as big of a drop off because I think, as we have said over and over, the reason why it's great that they actually drafted him, yeah, it brought stability, but in the division, the Broncos are not going to be trying to draft a franchise quarterback for a bit. And the Bo Nix is a ceiling level of where Derek Carr was in his best years. Yeah. That's it. He can beat you, no doubt. He can beat you. There's no Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson in your division, okay? Doesn't exist, thank goodness.
Herbert was the closest thing to it for a while, and we've obviously changed our expectations on him.
So the ceiling is lower for Bo Nix, therefore I actually think the floor is higher, therefore the regression to me margin is not there. The same way Jaden Daniels obviously has way more room to regress just because his ceiling still continues to be, he hadn't reached it yet, right? Jaden Daniels can win an MVP in this league at some point in time. I don't think anybody thinks Bo Nix is ever winning an MVP.
No, the best would be that Derek Carr year where you're kind of in the conversation.
Third, he got hurt, he might have won it.
For a little bit of time. Look, I just go back. Some of it is like the simple stuff. I watch him play and watch CJ Stroud play. And I'm like, he's not as good as CJ Stroud. And CJ Stroud had a much worse second year than first year. And part of that was because offensive line play or things that like you can't control, Nico Collins getting hurt or anything else. But the Broncos were remarkably lucky last year in that department. Their offensive line was healthy all year. Their defense was healthy a good chunk of the year. They didn't, I think that there's, as we've said before, regression to the mean outside of that. I also just think once they get some tape on you, they trick you into more interceptions and you make more mistakes and then your team gets in more trouble. It's not even that I think Bo Nix is a bad quarterback. It's not that. It's just when I look at their schedule, Golden, there's probably, I think I counted 9 or 10 games on their schedule where they are not definitively better than any of them. They're either worse than those teams or, like you said, we consider them on par with those teams.
What is
so if I just give them 5-5 in that scenario, then I'm only getting them to 12 wins with zero other slip-ups in any other part of the schedule.
What is a regression for Bo Nix, though? So he had 29 touchdowns, 12 picks last year. He had 3,700 yards.
22 touchdowns, 14 picks, and maybe the yardage is about the same in probably that. Like his interception ratio goes up, his yards per game maybe stay about the same. That's regression.
You're saying he's getting closer to Kirk Cousins than what he did last year. Because Kirk Cousins had 18 touchdowns, 16 picks. I mean, you're saying he's closer to Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins had a terrible year last year.
I know. I know.
I don't think it'd be quite that bad.
Because, his numbers were eerily similar to Kyler Murray, Brock Purdy, just with less touchdowns. Josh Allen
had a sophomore slump too.
He had more touchdowns than Josh Allen, but more interceptions. Matt Stafford, similar stats too.
Stats thing too. You know, some of it's just the more mistakes you play, your team regresses a little bit.
Because I think you're right. Where I don't know if I expect the Broncos to regress at all. It's just that they're going to make up for it with the best defense in the league potentially. Like Bo Nix might not be as good, but that doesn't mean they're losing more games than they did last year.
Well, I think the Broncos are winning at least 10 games. I really do. I don't think
they're third in the division.
And
you think it's like 10, 11, 12.
Yeah, very similar to what it was last year. Now, I don't think the Chiefs are winning 15 games, but I could see the Chiefs win 13 or 12. Chargers win 11 or 12. Broncos win 10 or 11. In that scenario, the Chiefs probably still win the division. So
someone's asking what a Jaden Daniels slump looks like. He seems less likely to regress because they increased his weapons and helped his offensive line.
I think Jaden Daniels is that dude. So I think Jaden Daniels is that special of a player. So
they're also going to have to score. They have nobody at defensive end. Like, you want to talk about a team that's still going to have to let it fly? It's the Commanders.
No, they're still going to trade for Trey Hendrickson right before the season.
Fine. If they do that, then I'll change my opinion on their need to score. As of right now, they need to score. They do not have any. Their best defensive end is a guy I can't even remember the name of now. They're not good.
Dietrich Wise. They brought in from free agency.
That's their best one?
Probably.
Woof.
I mean, they've got Dorrance Armstrong. I mean, they still got Jerron Payne. They brought in Javon Kinlaw. But, I mean, I'd say Dietrich Wise is probably their guy.
It's not great.
Secondary, they added
Javon
some more
Kinlaw,
free. They really dedicated free agency stuff to defense.
Yeah.
They brought in six free agents on the defensive side of the ball.
But nobody was like a dude. Trey Henderson, there was a new article out today. Did anybody read it? I saw Adam Schefter retweet it. There was a new article. I didn't read it yet. It just said, update on the continued contract problems or something with Trey Hendrickson. What do you think, Drew? Will Trey Hendrickson be a Cincinnati Bengal week one of this season?
Yes.
Man, you said that too confident. I'm more like 50-50.
He'll be on the roster and be playing week one. I think they'll pay him.
Oh, you think he's getting a contract, too?
I think he's getting a contract.
Well, I mean, I think that's the only way he plays this year.
Can't even sign their first-round pick. Drew switched. Drew changed teams. He started blaming the agent. It's the agent's fault.
What?
Based on what he's asking for...
Do you know who the agent works for?
The player.
So if the player wants to get the damn thing done and says...
asking for, reportedly?
He's asking for something that I don't think any first-round pick has asked for before. He's asking for more guaranteed money, but he wants it spread out over he wants guarantees over the entirety of his rookie contract, which I don't think has ever happened before. I think it's
so he wants his guaranteed spread out over 5 years,
something along those lines, which I don't know if that's ever happened before for a first round pick, in terms of like the way that it, like he wants to be paid less per year, but he wants to be paid more in like signing bonus. I don't know. There's something weird and unique about it. His dad recently said something about it as well. I didn't read it because I'm not putting the time into that. The man's going to be playing in week one and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, the rookie.
This is from Pro Football Talk. On May 8th, so for the argument about the fully guaranteed, on May 8th, the Texans gave their second round pick, the second pick of the second round, the first fully guaranteed contract ever for a second round pick.
Yeah, that was history.
So it's happened. It has happened. Now that was a second round pick. We're talking about a first round pick here.
I think it was something in the language about yearly salary versus the guarantees, or something along those lines.
I get why you wouldn't want to give a second round pick a fully guaranteed contract. It's a second round pick. First round pick, I mean, it is kind of, I mean, we're talking, it's still
it's like $15 million. Who cares? Well, I mean, it's more than that, but it's not way more than that.
That's where I've always said from the start. I think the thing with Shamar Stewart's more embarrassing than the whole Trey Hendrickson thing, actually. Like, it's less money. Just give him the money.
All right, up next, we will get to what's trending, and we'll talk more about Noah Cameron, who continues to be stellar since being called up from Omaha. But what do they do? It's a good problem to have. What options do they have? We'll try to talk through them next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.